This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
This episode of Spilled Milk is brought to you by Full Pole Wines.
So, I like wine.
Yes, me too.
And I don't know how to pick a good wine. I don't know if I trust those little cards at the grocery store. I certainly don't trust myself.
Who writes those things?
I only trust Full Pole Wines. Full Pole Wines are some real wine lovers in Seattle who have a wine importing and distributing business that works for you. You sign up for their mailing list. They tell you about some cool Northwest wines or some imported boutique wines that are available to you at a really great price and are going to be delicious.
Yeah, and you can have them delivered to you if you don't live in Seattle. If you live here in Seattle, you just go pick them up at their warehouse in Soto. We went there, did some tasting. It was great.
It was nice. We recommend it. So to get on it, go to fullpolewines.com. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, a dating show where we tell you how to get along on a date.
Yeah, well, Matthew just picked up this, like, gallon-sized bag of cookie cutters and put them on the table and said, I got out these cookie cutters in case we ran out of things to talk about. When has that ever happened to us on this show?
The canned tomato episode.
Oh, did we just look at each other in...
It was the most terrible thing that's ever happened. Ever.
I don't remember that. I remember
good.
That it
lucky
was
lucky you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow, these smell good.
Do they?
Oh, wait, I have other cookies.
Okay. Oh, gosh, they do smell good.
Let's just not tell people what the episode is about.
Okay. So today's episode was suggested by host Molly. That's me. Today we are talking about gingerbread cookies.
And how to date them.
And how to date them. No, we are specifically talking about, like, the kind of gingerbread cookies that you see around the holidays. We're not talking about, like molasses crinkle cookies. We're talking about, like, crispy, like, anthropomorphic.
Yeah, crispy anthropomorphic cookies, CACs.
Yeah. 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 Anyway, okay, Matthew, take us down memory lane.
Okay, I definitely ate these as a kid. This is my memory lane every time. Like,
I ate these as a kid,
but I don't have any particular memories of liking or strongly disliking them.
I ate these as a kid, and I would say the same thing.
Probably some homemade and some bagged. This is very exciting.
I seem to remember there being, like, some sort of tea thing that was organized at the home of, like, a family friend, and my mom took me there, and I had to wear, like, a fancy party dress.
This sounds terrible.
This is really giving away so much about my youth.
And you
my
had to bring
upbringing
your horse
in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. to pass the time, we did things like dress up in fancy dresses and go to people's fancy homes and decorate gingerbread cookies.
And Sean from Hunan.
Yeah, he would show up in his pleated pants. He would bring me my sweet and sour chicken. No, and Sean was not there.
Okay. Why didn't you invite Sean? What's wrong with Sean?
I don't know. Yeah, sometimes I wonder where he is.
That might actually be hard to find out.
It might be
like
hard to find out.
It's easy to find anybody these days except maybe him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sean's gone off the grid. You know, cookies. Mm-hmm. We need to get, like, into, you know, which, like, what part of the body do you eat first? You know what happened here?
Yeah.
We just You know, sometimes we tape two episodes in one day, usually even. And our previous episode was cold brew coffee. And despite being warned by my wife not to drink too much cold brew coffee.
Are you electrified?
I drank too much cold brew coffee. Now I can tell I'm talking really fast.
And you're like, and twitching and fidgeting. You're fidgeting. Yeah, you're fidgeting. Okay, so you know what? Let's settle ourselves down with a little bedtime story from Wikipedia.
That's a good idea.
Matthew has done some research. On gingerbread cookies. Take it away, Matthew.
Here's what I learned. Most gingerbread men share a roughly humanoid shape with stubby feet and no fingers.
Oh, God.
Many gingerbread men have a face. Though whether the features are indentations within the face itself or other candy stuck on with icing or chocolate varies from recipe to recipe.
Can you imagine being an alien and trying to understand holiday traditions and reading this?
Many gingerbread men have a face. And then my favorite part of the Wikipedia page about gingerbread cookies was that there is a photo captioned Gingerbread Man and His Wife. The gingerbread man's wife has been reduced to...
She doesn't even get a name.
No.
His wife.
To be fair, he doesn't get a name either.
That's true.
But...
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Okay. So I texted you last night and I said, I'm making some gingerbread person cookies. I don't feel comfortable calling them gingerbread men in 2017.
Gingerbread people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I said, do you want them crunchy or soft? And you said you think of them as being crunchy. And I think I do too. And yet I think I actually like soft cookies better.
I definitely prefer soft cookies. So,
and I'm not even totally sure how these came out. I know they're crunchy around the edges, but I don't know whether they cooled to being crunchy all the way through.
I think that there's a... You know, when I really think about it, a gingerbread man, I'm not looking for a gingerbread person. Excuse
me. What are you looking for in a gingerbread person in a dating context?
I am not looking for it to be crunchy the way that like an overbaked chocolate chip cookie gets crunchy.
That's bad.
I don't want that. I'm looking for my gingerbread people to be firm,
mm-hmm.
like able
where
to hold their shape. And I'm looking for them to have at least a little bit of snap between mm-hmm. the teeth.
Does it ever bother you that they don't have fingers?
No, because I don't know. Like there are.
I'm not saying it should, but
yeah, no, it does. Okay. It doesn't bother me. These have weird little like fists, though.
They really
the
do.
The ones that you made.
I followed sexy. The Martha Stewart's cookies book recipe. And she has you roll out the dough and then freeze it and then cut the cookie people and then freeze it again and then bake it, which I think is to preserve
the shape.
And I almost feel like it preserved the shape too well.
Like you wanted a little more spread?
Like there's no like homey like lumpiness about them.
Oh, but I don't think I'm looking for homey lumpiness in a gingerbread person.
Then
I think
did you put that on your OKCupid profile?
I think I'm looking for it in like a molasses crinkle cookie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can we eat one of these?
Yeah, let's do.
Should I like take one and split it in half?
So Matthew has left one undecorated, one with just two buttons in the chest area, one with three buttons going down its front. And the one with three buttons also has two eyes made from Red Hots and a mouth made from Red Hots.
The buttons are also made from Red Hots.
Silently screaming that one.
Yes. So Iris, my daughter, decorated that one and she put on the buttons. I'm like, that's cute. She said, and she put on the eyes. I'm like, oh, that's cute. It's like a little person. And then she put on the mouth and then it looked terrifying.
Yeah. The mouth, it's suddenly really scary. Okay, wait. So do you break it or do you bite it?
I think I usually, these are fairly large ones, and I'll break it rather than, I'll break it and then bite it.
I love the texture of these.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a stale cookie texture, mm-hmm. but it's what I'm looking for. It's firm, it resists the teeth,
mm-hmm.
but it also has some give to it.
And it's got lots of spices.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the spices.
I don't mean lots of different spices, but a large quantity. So it's got nutmeg, cinnamon, ginger, and cloves. In significant quantities.
Matthew, I noticed that I ate the legs off and you ate the head off.
Interesting.
Is this typical of your eating gingerbread person style?
I think I'll typically go head first, yeah.
Huh, I definitely would
like
go...
Like how I dive into life.
I would go extremities first. Lower extremities.
Specifically.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel about them texturally?
Well, I mean, I agree that this is gingerbread person cookie texture, but... it makes me think about, I want this flavor in a molasses cookie that's soft and chewy.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like the person who developed like the first full like gingerbread person recipe as we think of it today.
Who was himself a gingerbread man.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like they were going for something that had a certain function, and that function was to be made in a roughly humanoid shape and decorated with terrifying things like red hot mouths and eyes.
I thought the function was to be put to work in some sort of factory.
Yeah, yeah.
I also got Pepperidge Farm Gingerman cookies, which may be pronounced Ginger Man. I don't know.
Well, that's definitely more of a snappy texture. Mm-hmm. I see that we have reversed our trend here.
Oh, my God.
I ate the head off first.
Well, these are smaller. I didn't really even pay attention. See, these are like...
These just taste like ginger snaps.
Yeah.
And I think a ginger snap should taste different from a gingerbread cookie.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think these are good.
Mm-hmm.
They're nice and snappy.
They're very snappy.
But they're not really a gingerbread person cookie the way I think of it.
The flavor is really different. I think a gingerbread person has like more spices somehow than a ginger snap, which is like a true ginger snap.
a true snap.
This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
Now, Third Love has a bra for every season, every body type, every outfit, and every occasion.
You know, I'm mostly like a jeans and t-shirt kind of person. Uh-huh. However, like anybody, I like to dress up, especially around the holiday season. And, you know, you need a good strapless bra. Maybe you need a good bra that does a little like push-up action. Mm-hmm. Third Love has expanded their line over the years that I've been wearing these bras, and they now have a bra for pretty much every type of outfit a person could need.
I think that's their new slogan, a bra for all seasons.
A bra for all seasons,
you can have that free from us, Third Love, is our holiday gift to you.
Yeah, so anyway, if you are a Spilled Milk listener and you have not yet tried a Third Love bra for yourself or the person with breasts you love, you should get on it because Spilled Milk is offering you 15% off your first purchase.
So to get on that, go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk. You can use their free Fit Finder tool that is so quick and easy and fun to use and get 15% off your first purchase.
Yep, that's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk. So, Matthew, do you want to tell the gingerbread man fairy tale that you wrote on our agenda here?
Well, I actually only wrote the end because it was the part that I liked. So, you know, there's like a become like a standard version that probably like originated in some nursery rhyme book or something where it's like run as fast as you can. Can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man. Which happens after, like, so someone bakes a gingerbread man cookie and then it jumps off of the cookie sheet and runs away. But according to Wikipedia, the tale ends with a fox catching and eating the gingerbread man who cries as he's devoured, I'm quarter gone, I'm half gone, I'm three quarters gone, I'm all gone.
Wait a minute, what part of him cries, I'm all gone?
I don't know, and it's disturbing in a lot of different ways.
It really is.
The gingerbread man remains a common subject for American children's literature into the 21st century. Yeah, I mean, if you go to the bookstore, a significant proportion
so
of all books are about the gingerbread man. The retellings often omit the original ending.
Well, yeah, for good reason.
Yeah.
Because it's half gone. I'm three quarters gone.
Right, because it's like ginger murder.
It is. It's ginger murder. And it's like really weird. Like, was he speaking from beyond? Was it...
was
he in the upside down? And he spoke like through the wall.
I'm glad you brought this up because I was a little nervous when you came over today about whether we were still friends because of our different feelings about episode 7 of Stranger Things.
Of season 2.
Of season 2. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. When Eleven goes to Chicago and like joins the street gang.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool.
Oh my God. I was like actually rolling my eyes through the entire episode.
And I was like, I want to go to Chicago and join a cool gang with like.
They were not cool. They were like dumb.
I mean, dumb can be cool.
Anyway, I understand the function of the episode.
There's a lot of overlap between cool and dumb.
Like, she learned the source of her power, and she learned how to harness it, which allowed her to then do what she did in the finale.
I mean,
but
yeah.
But, I mean, really, that whole episode was such a waste.
But, I mean, being cool, I'm kind of off the show and onto, like, what is cool now? You know, we like to think of like you know, being cool is just being yourself. We know that's not true. Being cool is doing things like, you know, skipping school, committing crimes, smoking.
Yeah, having a mohawk.
These are dumb things to do, and yet so cool.
Do you still think they're cool? Like, for real?
No. A little bit, maybe.
Did you do any of those things?
I mean, I think what were the, committing crimes? Yeah. The things I said.
Have you ever committed a crime?
I've shoplifted maybe once.
We talked
about this on the Sack Lunch live show.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I shoplifted one time. It was a headphone splitter from Radio Shack. I didn't get caught, but I felt really bad about it.
And then, okay, what about other things? Have you ever had a mohawk?
No.
Have you ever skipped school?
Yes.
Okay.
Is this the purity test?
Wait, what other things?
Have I ever had unprotected sex? Yes.
Okay.
But it was with the intention of getting pregnant.
Oh, that was the only time?
Do I want to talk about this on the show?
Oh. Okay, cool.
I don't know. Let's turn this around to you. Have you committed a crime other than shoplifting?
No. No. I mean, speeding. I don't think that's a crime. Jaywalking. My God, I'm a big jaywalker.
Yeah, though. No, these are more like infractions.
I haven't done anything other than like shoplifting.
Up.
No.
You ever kill a man? This is a safe space. You can tell me. I won't tell anyone.
Go on.
Okay, so I made the recipe from Martha Stewart cookies. Mm-hmm. Bookmark the page. So talk about something while I find it.
I gotta say, I think the flavor of the gingerbread men you made is like just okay. Mm-hmm. I've had better. I think that the clove flavor is a little strong.
Yeah, maybe so. Cloves, interesting. I think maybe this is not interesting.
Okay.
I was gonna say it's interesting how different spices are like some are stronger than others.
But that's not
interesting.
Well, so I bought cloves most recently in like the bulk section at my grocery store, the bulk herbs and spices section, and so I brought them home in like a little tiny Ziploc baggie. They smelled so strong, even through the baggie, I had to put them in a sealed glass jar to put them in my spice drawer because it was so intense.
And was that even that enough, or did you then have
that
to put
enough.
Them
and
in
I
a
have
safe
to do
deposit
the same,
box?
I have to do the same thing with cumin, with ground cumin.
Yeah, that's strong stuff.
It's so strong. It's amazing.
It's really amazing. I'm going to need to sit here for a few minutes to just take
absorb
that in.
It. Yep. Okay.
So the recipe is actually called gingerbread snowflakes, and you're supposed to cut these big snowflakes and then make a snowy pattern on them with royal icing. And Molly was like, oh, I'll make the royal icing. And then when you got here, you're like, do I really have to make icing?
Well, so you were saying, so Martha Stewart's royal icing recipe, will you tell us about it?
Yes, it's on page 241, which I will flip to now.
Okay.
Listen for the page turning sound. Royal icing, 1 pound confectioner's sugar shifted.
Wow.
And 5 tablespoons of meringue powder. And then as soon as I saw meringue powder, I'm like, I don't know where you get that. Is that a thing?
You know, I got to say, like, what the hell, Martha Stewart? Like, that is, I feel like that is irresponsible recipe writing.
Can we get her on the show to talk about this?
Who is going to go buy meringue powder? Let's make this approachable. Plus, where does meringue powder come from? Egg whites. Let's look up other royal icing recipes and see if they call for egg whites.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so a couple of years ago, Matthew's mom, shout out to Judy Amster,
appears on every episode,
gave me the collection The Good Cook, which came out, God, I can't remember, I don't know when these were published, but it's like
in the past,
it's a 20-something book collection, and these books are like individual topics. This one is cookies and crackers. I looked up royal icing in it. Here we go. Confectioner's sugar, egg whites, strained fresh lemon juice. Now, that is what I have always thought of royal icing as being.
And I had never thought about royal icing before because I did not know what it was.
So, yeah, basically you mix some of the confectioner's sugar with the egg whites, you add the lemon juice, you start beating it, you're gradually adding the sugar. Basically, you're beating it for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And you're looking for it to get smooth and creamy, and you need to use it immediately, or you can keep it, like, I guess, covered with a damp cloth for up to half an hour, but really it starts to harden right away.
You've basically got
an uncooked meringue.
This is different though from like a 10-minute frosting or whatever that's called, right?
Oh God, I don't
Seven minutes. Thank you. Let's 7 minutes frosting in heaven.
Hold on. You know, 7 minutes in heaven is better than 6 minutes in heaven.
So what are you talking about?
I'm quoting Flight of the Conchords, season one.
Oh, okay.
2 minutes in heaven is better than 1 minute in heaven.
I definitely have watched that, but it was a long time ago.
The first season was really good.
It was really funny.
It was really good. And then I think that's the tough thing.
It introduced the world to Kristen Shaw, right?
Yeah, and to Jermaine Clement.
Well, yeah.
who I think is pretty great.
I noticed on the same page of The Good Cook, there's a recipe for nut filling and nut paste.
Seven minute workout. That's what I was looking for.
Okay. Well, that's what you do
7 minutes in heaven. It also pulled that.
Okay. These are all things you can do while the frosting is being made. You can do a 7 minute workout and or play 7 minutes in heaven.
What is 7 minutes in heaven? Oh, is it that, where you go in the closet?
This is something I have done.
Really? I've never done this.
Yeah. It didn't go the way I was hoping, I don't think.
Oh, okay. Do you go in the closet with someone?
Yeah, you go in the closet with someone.
And you just get to do whatever for 7 minutes.
Well, I mean, with consent, hopefully.
Come on now. Of course. Okay, a 7 minute frosting is very similar. It is sugar, corn syrup, egg whites, and vanilla.
Okay.
And what you wind up with is glossy and voluminous.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It doesn't taste very good, but it's gorgeous.
So it's more like, I would say, like a, it seems like it winds up more like a cake frosting as opposed to a...
Or a cupcake frosting, which is what I used it for.
Okay, whereas royal icing is going to be thin. It's like drizzleable. You can use it to draw on your gingerbread cookie.
Right, make a snowy pattern or a ginger person face or whatever.
Correct.
I just realized when I said that I played 7 minutes in heaven, I might be confusing myself with the movie Teen Wolf.
Oh, okay. That's happened before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to crack open this bag of...
There's a strange fly on my water that's not like a normal house fly.
No, that's weird.
It's creepy,
it's
right?
It's probably a bad omen, it's probably like a Silence of the Lambs kind of thing.
I'm sure it is. Anyway, so we didn't make royal icing today, but royal icing is what would generally be used to decorate your gingerbread men. And if you come across one with meringue powder, I don't know, keep searching because that just seems unnecessary.
But do you know what the thought I had when I saw that was? I was like, wait, what if everybody else has meringue powder except me?
No, they don't.
What if everybody is cool like 11 Chicago street gang buddies?
Oh, God. Okay, anyway, so I'm glad we've gotten to the bottom of royal icing. What makes it royal anyway?
Oh,
is it a royal pain in the ass?
That's it, yes.
It probably is. I mean, anything with egg whites really is.
Yes, off with its head.
Maybe this is why meringue powder. Maybe it's easier to work with. But you're probably going to drop like $12 for a little
vial. For a little vial, yeah.
Yeah.
A little sachet.
This episode was brought to you by Third Love.
Now, as you know, because we've mentioned it on the show, my wife has several Third Love bras, and they look terrific. And she says they are among the best-fitting bras and most comfortable that she's ever owned.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm pretty much always wearing a Third Love bra at this point, and I can testify to everything that Lori says.
So to get your own at 15% off this holiday season, go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk.
That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk.
Wow, we made it through that whole episode and we didn't even have to resort to talking about different shapes of cookie cutters. Like,
I mean, goodness.
But no,
so
we need
glad.
To talk about it for a minute because like there's the person shape and there's the snowflake shape. Are there any other shapes of gingerbread cookies that are at all traditional? Like a Christmas tree,
Tree, or I feel like a bell.
Yes,
like
I agree.
Like, what is the deal with
or
bells?
Or a stegosaurus.
Oh, look, you've
What's
got
the deal with bells?
Why are bells a Christmas thing?
Because you ring them.
God,
and
you guys are really into Canada here. You've got two different sizes of maple leaves in your cookie cutter collection.
And I don't know if we got those in Canada or like if someone from Canada brought them to us or if they're not even actually. That's like a rooster, I think.
Oh,
isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is what you do on the date. You're like, I brought all these cookie cutters.
I was like, look, it's Casper the Friendly Ghost, except it's an upside down snowman.
Yeah, see, this would be a terrific date, don't you think? Just sit around in front of the fire, pulling out. It's like playing the
look, it's a bell.
Yep, the guess the animal game.
Yeah, from Animal Crackers.
From Animal Crackers, yeah. Yes. But you don't have to like carry crackers around, cookies around with you.
Oh, but that would be a little bit terrible. Less noisy.
That's true.
Okay, wait, hold on. Whoa, you guys have a weird monkey.
Oh, we do have a weird monkey.
Weird monkey cutter.
We have a weird fly and a weird monkey. Oh, a heart.
You guys have two different cats.
Mm-hmm. You don't pull out the heart cookie cutter unless the date is going really well.
Yeah. Tiny gingerbread person in a skirt.
I think that's an angel.
There are no wings.
Oh, never mind.
Wait, what is... Oh, is this a pumpkin? It's a weird-ass pumpkin.
It's yeah, it on the label, it's a weird-ass pumpkin. Okay, well, that was fun.
That was super fun.
You want to go out again? You can find us online at okcupid.com. where we're desperately trying to meet other people
who are interested. I'm just looking for somebody who feels the same way that I do about cookie cutting. Mm-hmm.
Good work, bicycle guy. That's what that was, right? Yes.
I also wanted to do the guy who just says, I'm very, very lonely.
That's the subtext of all of them, right?
Yeah. Shout out to singles.
Uh-huh. Yep. You can find us on SpilledMilkPodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SpilledMilkPodcast and on Instagram at SpilledMilkPodcast, where we'll probably post a picture of like a bunch of cookie cutters in a bag.
Yeah, probably.
That's my guess.
And anyway, thanks for spending another year with us.
Oh, yeah. This is almost our last episode of the year.
Yeah, there'll just be one more this year.
Yeah, I don't even know what it's going to be. Do I? I think we decided it.
Oh, I think it's some kind of seafood. Let's not give it away.
All right, no spoilers. I mean, we'll spoil Stranger Things, but we're not going to spoil what's on the next episode of Spilled Milk.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening to Spilled Milk.
You can eat us head first or tail first. We don't care.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Hamster Burton.
That's not what it is, but that's from The Little Mermaid. I want to be where the people are. Something, something. See them dancing.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.